And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. So JP worked some of that hoodoo he do and got Twitter going again. So we are back up and streaming on Twitter. Am I correct? Oh, should I have said that out loud?
No, we are. But I don't know if I did anything. I just kept trying.
Listen, I'm giving you credit in front of all of God's children right now. That JP did it. He's the one that fixed Twitter.
Yeah, there we go. Fix Twitter for everybody.
But hey, speaking of which, let's do this. Let's rehash, because we said in the first part of the show that we are doing a giveaway this week. So a couple things. One is we are going to give away some new Right Side merch as part of this. We got t-shirts, we got hats, we got coffee mugs, stuff. We got all the merch stuff now in the merch store on our website at rightsideradio.org, rightsidemedia.org. But you guys, you and Butters helped set this up. So remind everybody, if they want to get tickets to the Kirk Cameron Show and qualify for some merch giveaway, what do they do?
Y'all, we are giving away free Kirk Cameron tickets for his event in Gadsden. Just go to Right Side Media's Twitter and repost and comment on the tweet, and we will pick a winner each day this week for that. But also on Phil's Facebook, you can do the same. But if you've bought a ticket or are going to buy a ticket, just text in a screenshot of your receipt for the ticket to the text line 833-687-4448, and we will pick one person from this week that does that to give them a Right Side bundle of a hat, t-shirt, I believe a mug is in there as well. We'll get you a bundle when you show up to the event. So, yeah, y'all go check it out. It's free tickets. I mean, who's going to turn down free tickets?
That is cool stuff.
By the way, let's say, and you get a signed Kirk Cameron book and a merch item as well with the giveaway on the Twitter giveaway. So
nice. Nice. Okay, so the show is in this coming Friday.
Yes.
It's this coming Friday, March the 7th, in Gadsden at the church at Wills Creek. It's a big church in the area here. And I've been to a number of events there. I've spoken there, as a matter of fact. But it's going to be a great night. And listen, Kirk Cameron is making this tour around the Southeast. And you can't just wait for it to come to your hometown. It doesn't work that way. He has certain venues he selects, and they do them there. And this is going to be a great faith and family night. So we're promoing it, and we're going to have him in studio on Friday. And we're giving away tickets throughout the week. And I plan to be there myself, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
So, make plans. And they can go to our social media platforms to win.
Yes, Right Side Media's Twitter or your personal Facebook.
Whoop, whoop. Okay. Hey, listen, every once in a while, I like to always prelim the next thing. Every once in a while, you got to look around and realize what's happening on the big news, what's happening out there in D.C., what's happening on the world stage. Well, that's important. And we just spent the whole show doing what? All the stuff in D.C. / what's going on with Ukraine, right? But every once in a while, I got to say, and I mean with all sincerity, what happens in your own backyard can have as much or more impact on your life as anything. So I'm a big believer is that we have to do stuff in and around where we are. We have to take a look at it. We gotta pull it all together and cook up a batch of what I call home fries. Oh, yeah. Cook them up, man. Just sizzling them in the pan. All right, things that are happening in our backyard. Well, I said it earlier in the show because it was fresh, but this is breaking news. We just learned that today's date, March 3rd, 2025, Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth has announced that Fort Benning, all y'all in Fort Benning, who's in our listening area, by the way, on WANI 1400 AM 98.7 FM down yonder in the Auburn, Opelika, Fort Benning market, you're back to Benning. You're going back to Benning. He is renaming it back. Fort Moore. And by the way, I am a huge fan of Lieutenant General Hal Moore. I am. I think that if they had to choose something to rename our post for, notice I call it our post. Our post for, I was good with that selection, but I was never good with the reasons for the renaming. What they're doing right now is reclaiming those things that got stuck in wokeisms, and they're putting it back to its historical names. However, once again, chess versus checkers, Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth says, oh no, it's not being named after a Confederate general named Benning. Gosh, why would you think that? It's being named after a corporal, Fred Benning, who served in the U.S. Army in 1917, who was awarded the Distinguished Service Cross as a member of the 16th Infantry Regiment, 1st Infantry Division of the American Expeditionary Forces in World War I. Yes, indeed. He is the new namesake. So Once again, Dems aren't going to know what to do with it. They didn't say boo about Fort Liberty being renamed to Fort Bragg because they couldn't argue with the name.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Argue that these veterans, these war heroes, yeah, are bad? Like, it's genius.
And you know, and some may take issue with this and go, Lieutenant General Moore is now being discredited. No, he's not. No, he's not. There was an asterisk by that name the whole time because of the way the Dems did it. And they tried to paint the military as systemically racist. No, we weren't. In fact, listen, try to talk to me about it. I've got family at Benning right now. And I personally, at Fort Benning, I went to the infantry course. I went to airborne school. I went to ranger school. I did the Pathfinder course. I did the Jumpmaster course. I did the battalion commander's course and a bunch of other things in between. I've jumped out there. I have waded through the swamps out there. I have trucked down the roads. I have done PT tests. I have been all over Benning. It's like finding a lost friend to me. And so having spent a big chunk of my life there, I'm of the belief that renaming it to Benning is just right. So for all of y'all in the listening area down there at WANI out of Auburn, you are in the Fort Moore / soon to be Fort Benning again locale. And I'm looking forward to seeing more. And I think the Dems are going to say, I thought we were going to save money. Now we're going to spend millions to rename it. You know what? No, we're actually fixing your mistake. That's what we're doing. We said we're getting woke out of the military. That's what we're doing. And for many of us, it never felt right saying Fort Moore. It just felt weird. You've got family from down there.
Yeah.
I mean, family connections.
It's like Fort Benning. I mean, Fort Moore. Yeah, Fort Bragg. I mean, Fort Liberty. Sorry.
Yeah, you know, the one that, well, they renamed it, but it's always one. Mm-hmm. Veterans have had to put a hyphen in their memories now for the last several years. This is just right. So quit screwing around, Democrats. How about this? The U.S. military, we go train warriors. That's what we're about now. And we do it at a place called Fort Benning. So thank you. Thank you very much. Just saying. By the way, we've got a text from Karen from Ozark. Ozark's down there yonder where Fort Novosel right now. It used to be Fort Rucker is. But she's pointing out there's a Friends of Army Aviation shout out doing Huey rides at the airport. Okay, very cool. At the airport in Prattville, apparently. All right, cool. I've spent a lot of time in Hueys flying with the doors open and even jumped out of them multiple times. Jumping out of a Huey. Any of you paratroopers out there ever jump out of a Huey, tell me how many of you didn't push out hard enough and hit the skids. Because you'll know when you do, as all of a sudden you're facing forward, next thing you know, it catches your chute tray and you're facing straight down. I have spent a lot of time in Hueys. All right, listen, we're taking a break right now. We're coming right back. That was an opening salvo for Home Fries. We got plenty of stuff on tap. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Goes from Huntsville back on over to Chattanooga, from Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden, all the way down to that prettiest little town on the plains, Auburn, which stretches over, by the way, to Fort Benning. And then even big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. All right, I'm in the middle of this thing I like to do periodically where I remind you of key stories that are happening in and around the places where we live, right here in our listening area. I like to call it cooking up a batch of home fries. Yeah! Cook them up. Hey, a story that came out last week, all you Tennessee folks, good on you. So this comes out, I think this was, did you see that? This is one of those that got accidentally printed out on cardstock. Did you see that? Did you hear that?
Yes.
Notice the difference? I don't want to waste it and have it reprinted. So now I've got cardstock with okay, that's a whole new sound effect.
Yeah.
Anyway, 1819 News reported that the Supreme Court of the United States, actually I take it back, I pulled this from Fox News. Supreme Court of the United States has tossed a challenge to a Tennessee law that banned drag shows with kids present. So they did. They passed a law in 2023. Makes sense, right? The law, quote, does not allow adult-oriented performances in public spaces where minors may see them. Okay. Who would fight against that? Please, tell me. Well, of course the progressive left would. So they did. And originally the case that they filed subjected the law to an injunction, put a freeze on it. But the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals reversed that decision. And just in the last few days, Dateline here last Thursday, the Supreme Court of the United States has declined to take up the matter, which is the Supreme Court's way of saying, we don't see the issue. It's not one for us. It stands. In other words, Tennessee Attorney General Jonathan Scrimeti and the legislature of Tennessee got it right, and the law stays in effect. So yay on that. That's just that's good news. I've also got a bill that's floating through the Alabama legislature right now. My good friend, Representative Matt Butler, who I served with when I was there, he and I have known each other for years. I think the world of him. Matt Butler's got a bill, House Bill 244, right now in the Alabama legislature, that is literally designed to require what he calls the ending of radical indoctrination in K-12 to align with the Trump directive. So what they're saying is, whereas Donald Trump has recently said he wants the woke out of the classrooms, and he's determined to retool the way education is looked at from governance standpoint, and to get all of the gender identity and sexuality and things out of our kids' schools. Well, Matt Butler has a bill in Alabama to align our state law directly to what the Trump statements have been. And that's happening right now in your legislature. 1819 News reports as of today. That one's also on cardstock, by the way. That one's like on multiple pieces of cardstock. Boom, boom, boom. Anyway, that it is going to get a committee hearing this very week. Now, that's a long process. Got a ways to go. But yeah. How about this? I just found this interesting. Back on the paper again.
There it is.
I just found this interesting. 1819 News also reporting that Gulf Shores, Alabama, which, by the way, all y'all in the Southeast know what a gem Gulf Shores is. Like, people up north, they think they have beaches. No, no, no. I'm sorry. The white sandy Gulf beaches of North Florida and South Alabama are of epic quality by comparison.
It's one of my favorite places on earth. Gulf Shores is awesome.
Just thank you. Yes.
We would go play our high school baseball tournaments down there, and I always loved it. It was awesome.
That, by the way, is on the Gulf of America.
Yep, the Gulf of America.
The Gulf of America. I've been fishing in the Gulf of America. I've been swimming in the Gulf of America. I like laying out of the beaches at the Gulf of America. But yeah, they're getting ready for, they're putting a zero tolerance policy in place at the beach this year. Spring break, ain't going to have it. So Gulf Shores and Orange Beach tourism is huge. By the way, the Orange Beach mayor, Tony Kinnon, super conservative guy. Mm-hmm. He has rocked people's world several times as a right side ruffian. I need to get him on the show. I had him on years ago, but I need to get him on again.
I loved his post after the Gulf of America became official.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the cold too. You could see he was kind of bundled up, but he made a photo op to go out there. It was pretty awesome.
Absolutely. But yeah, they have a beachside alcohol ban through April 28th. They're not going to put up with drunk revelers on the beach ruining it for everybody else during spring break. So there's that, and I'm glad of it. Let me grab a phone call real quick. Brian from Huntsville. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Doing well, and I was thinking about 2023, or was it 2013, no drag in front of children.
Yeah, it's 2023.
For Alabama, it's very similar to Shakespeare in England, because the actors, or the thespians, they would very often wear drag because normally women were not allowed to perform in the theater.
Yeah.
So the men would dress up that way. And also, in addition to that, children were not allowed into the theater. They might have sneak peeks through curtains or something like that, but they weren't allowed in the theater. So,
well,
drag in front of children.
I can tell you, I may know why. As a 12-year-old or 13-year-old, I went to Stratford-on-Avon in England to the actual Shakespearean playhouse, and my parents were shocked when things happened on the stage we didn't know were going to happen. So there's that.
Y'all have a blessed day.
See you, man. Hey, I got a case here where I got to give props to Democrats. What? Phil, did you just say? Well, I did, when they act like Republicans. So House Minority Leader Anthony Daniels, who is of Huntsville, and by the way, he and I don't agree on a lot of things, But Anthony Daniels is a good dude. I like him personally. I got to know him a little bit when I was in the Senate and he was still in the House. He's still in the House now, but he's now the minority leader in the House. He's the one who came on my show. Was it a year ago? When did they pass this? 2023. He came on my show in 23, and I had callers calling in saying, are you sure he's a Democrat? Because he's the one that had the bill to eliminate state income tax on overtime earnings. And he did a really good job with it.
And yet it seems like Republicans are the ones that are against it. And it's weird.
Thank you. Thank you very much. In something that boggles my mind right now, it was widely supported by both sides of the aisle. It was Daniel's bill. He championed it. He said it was about putting people back to work. It was about giving people more to put in their pockets. It was about getting government out of their lives. And I thought, what is this? This is a Democrat saying this? Well, he got it passed, and it became the law. Except they sunsetted it. And I hate it when this happens. But they sunsetted a really good bill, and it runs out this year. Like, it may have been a two-year tease. And we'll see what's going to happen. But right now, the Alabama State House has a supermajority of Republicans and a very good Democrat bill that puts money back in workers' pockets by cutting a tax. They're going to have to renew it. Otherwise, it could expire.
I find it hard to believe that they can't find some money to pass this. Like, and this goes with, you know, getting rid of the income tax too. I don't know if it's because the states around us have gambling, and this is not an endorsement of gambling, by the way, but I don't know if that's the reason why they can find, you know, money to have no income tax and we can't. But I just find it hard to believe that they can't find money to at least allow no overtime tax. Like, I don't understand.
Well, you know what it comes back to? It's the teachers' union. That's what's happening. The teachers' union is getting a say in this because the education budget is what is impacted. We're one of the only states in the nation that has split budgeting. And so the education budget is the one being impacted by this because the education budget receives its dollars from, in part, and check David at Bucky's right there, but in part from income tax. This is going to reduce that, and they're saying it's having a higher than usual expect. What does that mean? It's working. If $230 million out of the, how much was it? $8 billion education budget, $230 million. You know what that boils down to? Like 4%. So they lost $230.7 million out of a surplus $8 billion budget. And now they're thinking, well, I just don't know if we can renew this because, you know, we might have just gone too far with it and it might just not help us if we might need more money because we're government. We got to have more money. And the teachers' union got to have more money because, you know, money for schools is what we really need and stuff.
But why are Republicans the ones folding to the teachers' union?
All I know is Republicans better find themselves real quick because that would be heinous to let that thing go away. I had another one. Where'd it go? Hang on a second. Let me look down at my pile of stuff. This one I did find fascinating. Montgomery and Birmingham are the two big blue cities in Alabama, right? Red state, blue dots. But they're big blue dots. Now, they've both been shrinking in size, but Montgomery's our state capital. I love Montgomery. I mean, listen, there's so much history there. There's so many good things there. Maxwell Air Force Base is down there. It's a great place. The River City area is amazing. They also have a good minor league baseball team down there.
Yeah, the Biscuits.
The Biscuits. But their crime has been a problem. Birmingham's crime has been a problem. But Montgomery got a hold of it. Montgomery started something called the Metro Area Crime Suppression Unit. MACS. It's called MACS. The Metro Area Crime Suppression Unit. And it began working in conjunction with ALEA, our state law enforcement agency, and the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office, and the Montgomery Police Department. They put together a joint task force called the MACS, the Metro Area Crime Suppression Unit. And they are posting record numbers right now. Like, they're hopefully turning things around. Just since June of last year when MACS came on board, they have done like 674 outstanding arrest warrants have been cleared. They've arrested 266 individuals on various charges. 51 stolen vehicles have been recovered. 195 illegal firearms have been seized. And they're doing all kinds of stuff by doing a concerted effort at actual law enforcement. I'm saying Birmingham needs to sit up and take notice, because maybe they got something going on. And by the way, for all the things that I do say about getting frustrated with Governor Ivey, she did name this as one of her policy points that I think is she's right to pursue. And that is that she's pursuing getting this model rolled out to others. And that's huge.
But what if Whitfin just says, nope?
You know, he's going to have to say, I really don't want crime suppressed in my area.
Yeah.
Because what he's about to face is state legislation that tells him he will do it.
Mm-hmm.
That tells him you will detail some of your people to a joint task force. And you will make it happen. Or you're going to lose certain funding. Anyway, the bottom line is, I don't think he's going to have much choice.
Yeah.
And he's going to have to be openly opposed to the idea of policing. Well, it kind of is already, but you know what I'm saying.
And enforcing the law.
One last one for the break. I love this. So Yellowhammer News reported on something. I need to call and get the update on this, but this story is about almost 2 weeks old. But the Alabama State House is in session right now. The Alabama State House of Representatives have got a package of bills to target illegal immigration at the state level. Y'all, this is goodness. And by the way, they're doing something very similar up in Tennessee. But we've got several of our state representatives, Robbins, Fiddler, Colvin, Chip Brown, Jamie Keel, all dropped a bunch of bills. One of them would literally, you know, regulate workers' ability to use, you know, to be able to get jobs. And that's going to be huge, because if you can turn off the employment, what are they going to do? One of them would, here it is. We've talked about this before. There's a thing called remittances. That's the amount of money sent back from the United States to foreign countries. In Mexico especially, it is huge. What did you look up one time? Was it $63 billion annually?
That sounds about right,
$63 yes. billion dollars annually sent back in remittances from people who work in the United States to their homes in Mexico. Representative Jennifer Fiddler of Alabama has House Bill 297 that would impose a 4% wire transfer fee on those remittance transfers. Y'all, 4%. And by the way, a portion of that revenue would go to county sheriffs who are now having to house ICE detainees and deal with the crime from illegal aliens. So that would be massive. It would also then give a tax credit to citizens of Alabama, because we're generating revenue from other sources. I mean, this is a neat bill. And I've been saying for years, I said this when I was in the Senate, why aren't we taxing this? Why aren't we trying to put a curtail on this? And now maybe they will. That would be something. All right, take me to a break. I got more home fries. I can't even cook up all the home fries I got. The stack, y'all. Like, stuff is so much happening in our backyard. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. About to go to the show, about to the phones, I mean. Two quick things. One, I got to tell you, Coach Tommy Tuberville, Senator Tuberville, tonight his bill to do the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act, basically keeping transgenders out of sports. His bill is up for a vote on the floor of the Senate tonight. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with that. It should pass with flying colors. It ought to be bipartisan. It already passed the House. It could be the law of the land here very soon, because if they pass it tonight, it could very well go to Donald Trump for signature soon thereafter. So loving that and hoping to see good things. And then real quick, the grades are in. John from Huntsville. Phil gets an A-plus for his fantastic performance, which means today's winner is JP with a perfect A-triple-plus for his magnificent performance. And because I gave him 20 extra credit points for joining the March Madness. 20 extra points. By the way, he loves your Out of Right Field podcast, too.
Appreciate it. Yeah, by the way, the new one came out today, and I talk a lot about the Tuberville bill that's up for vote tonight. So y'all go check it out.
Outstanding. Let me run to the phones before I run out of time. Jeff Rowe from Indiana. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Bill, when are you going to join and get your extra credit?
I don't know. Apparently, I have to do something sports-minded, I guess.
I guess so.
Where are you at right now, man?
I'm north of Nashville, hammer down, baby. That's right.
Yeah, there you go.
Got her pinned to the wall.
Nice. Well, good deal. All right. There's that old song I want to sing, Eastbound and Down, but you're not eastbound. You're northbound and down.
I'm northbound and down, and hopefully I don't break down, then we'll be all right.
what's your mind, man? What do you think about all the stuff we talked about today? Ukraine or all the home fry stuff or what?
Hey, you know, how much is Alabama running a surplus at? You know?
I don't know, but I do know this. We have mandatory surplus accounts. They have to roll some money into the surplus accounts every single year, no matter what.
Oh, so they can overcharge the people, but you got to tax them, you know, so that you don't run a deficit, but then you can overcharge the people and keep that, right?
Well, a little bit of that I agree with. That's setting aside money for a rainy day fund so that if we have a budget crisis, we don't wind up having to, you know, cut people's pay and proration and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. But the thing about it is, if they think that they can't tax, you know, they're having this trouble, well, I don't want to tax overtime. Shouldn't there be a DOGE department in every state? You know, you can't tell me that Alabama doesn't have a lot of things going on. The crazy academy in Birmingham. There you go. Look how much money that thing's probably taking in.
That was in my stack of home fry stuff I didn't even get to. But yes, the Magic City Acceptance Academy. Hey, man, I got about 30 seconds to go, but what would you cut if you could?
Need to cut a bunch of the, I don't know. But they need to spend some more money on the road, that's for sure. That's for the commerce.
So whatever they do, don't cut roads. Says the guy who spends a lot of time on them.
So I'm all in for 65 being a six-laner.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you that.
You'd be for raising taxes to get that done, wouldn't you?
Oh, no. You can use that surplus money.
All right, man. Hey, the music's playing.
You find from everywhere else.
You be safe on the road, brother. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You too, bud.
All right, folks. What an amazing show. Listen, hey, do not forget. There's more of us than there are of them. God is still very much on his throne. Y'all stay in the fight. We'll see you tomorrow.